T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3, Dennison Callahan, Steve Burton alongside. You know, as 37,000 Red Sox fans chanted, "Where is Roger?" this weekend, we thought we'd get an answer to "Where is Roger?" Not necessarily literally, but figuratively, and who better to help us out with that than the estimable columnist for the Houston Chronicle, Richard Justice. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing very well. Figuratively, where is Roger Clemens, as a guy who's watched him up close and personally for the last 3 years in Houston?
Figuratively, he is in a place where he can't give it up. I mean, basically, he loves it. He and I had a tough argument about 4 years ago when I said, "Do you know how much you're going to miss it?" And he said, "Hey, I got plenty going on in my life, and I'll be just fine." And when a guy tells you that, that's a sure sign that he's going to be one of those guys they have to cut the uniform off of. And I just think he understands that whatever he does with the rest of his life is not going to be as much fun as standing on the mound on a Thursday night trying to get a hitter out.
So given the Yankees' deep hole and Roger's fatigued groin, you don't think that Roger has any second thoughts about calling this marriage off? Do the Yankees?
I think both sides have to be having some second thoughts. You know, the Yankees have an out to get out. They have to at least be considering it. They're buried. They're 12 and a half games out. They're buried. They have to at least be looking at that possibility. The problem is you send a message to Yankee fans, "We've given up." That's not something they normally do.
Right.
And from his viewpoint, I mean, he had said consistently, "I want to go to the place I have the best chance to win." Now, I always thought that was somewhat disingenuous in that he loved the Yankees and saw himself as a Yankee in a lot of ways, or he wants people to see him that way. So he has to be thinking that, too, because it's not going to be any fun. You know, he wanted to be the knight on the white horse
sure.
that rides in and saves things, and that's not going to happen.
Well, Richard, from where I sit, and you'll probably call this an oversimplification, it seems to me that if Roger Clemens wanted a comfortable situation, it would have been Houston. If he truly wanted a chance to win a ring, it would have been Boston. And if it was just about the money, then it was New York. Is that an oversimplification?
Well, I think, in the end, he could have gotten, if he had told any of those teams, "This is what it would take. I will sign." I would think he could have gotten that money anywhere. The most comfortable place, you're right, is Houston. But I think in getting to know him, he loved the Yankees, and I know he has warm feelings for Boston. He was comfortable in Houston, but he was there, and he was in New York 5 years, won 4 pennants, mm-hmm. and it was the only place he ever pitched that. The franchise was bigger than him, and I think he actually enjoyed it. And I think he found pitching in Houston the equivalent of pitching for a Double-A team. I think he found it boring, just not a lot of buzz. And in the end, he probably was guided too much by what his agents told him from a financial standpoint.
Richard, you said something right off the top that I was trying to tell Meter, if he was listening, that he cannot walk away from the game. That's exactly what I was trying to tell these guys. The other thing I mentioned, and tell me if you agree with me or disagree, I think he could have gotten the money. Red Sox obviously offered a lot less than what New York offered. But he loved being with Andy Pettitte.
Right.
How much so?
Can
you explain to these knuckleheads? Because they, for some reason,
he didn't go to New York for
Andy
Pettitte.
I'm telling you, Pettitte was a big reason why Roger went back to New York. He missed the game. Go ahead, Richard. I'll let you talk.
Well, he was a reason, but I think the bigger reason was wearing pinstripes. He loved Joe Torre. I can't tell you how many times I'd be talking to him, and he'd get an email from Jeter or from Bernie Williams.
Right.
He had a feeling for the Yankees that I think he never had for another franchise. Now, here's the deal. I thought he might return to the Astros, even though his agents indicated otherwise in November, because he'd suddenly become a good guy in Boston again to a certain extent. And now to go back to the Yankees, they're going to hate you all over again. If you go to Boston, the Yankee fans are going to hate you. And just to stay out of the American League, for one thing, your ERA stays about a run lower. and you don't tick everybody off again.
But these guys seem to think that he was, you know, money-driven, that Clemens has made a lot of money over
time.
Well,
now, money is an interesting thing for him, and I admire him on the money. He says always, consistently, it's not about the money, but the going rate is the going rate. So he doesn't play any games on the money.
Right.
If you want me, there's a certain price for me, and you have to pay it. And I don't need the money. And to him, you know, it's a lot of players look at it this way. It's a sign of respect.
It is.
So he's very upfront about the money.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Richard, did the Astros shoot themselves in the foot in some regard by suggesting that they might not allow him on the family plan again?
They shot themselves in the foot by being so casual in the negotiations with Andy Pettitte. They basically, they thought they had a John Garland trade worked out at the winter meetings, mm-hmm. and they were gloating. Now we get to tell the Hendricks brothers to go take a hike.
Yeah.
And that rubbed them all the wrong way. But even before that, they'd received indications, hey, we don't think you guys are going to do enough to improve your ball club. Our guys, Clemens and Pettitte, are probably going to go to somewhere else.
You know, we talked to John Smoltz a couple of weeks ago when the Braves were in town, and I asked him, had he spent his 19 years in the American League without the rocking chair inning or two or three that he faces in the National League, what would his ERA be? What would his, you know, win-loss record be? And he said, it's a question he doesn't even want to consider. As best you can tell, for all he accomplished in Houston with the, you know, best ERA and so on and so forth,
right.
How are those skills as 44 turns into 45 going to translate pitching in the American League East starting, I guess, Saturday?
Well, I would think the ERA is going to go up about a run, but he has a very high pitching aptitude. Now, it worked very well in the National League because, you know, you have at least two people you can pitch around, and he's very good at that. His stuff is not great anymore, but he can move the ball around, and he picks his spots. You know, you'll look up in the fifth inning, he's throwing 89, and then there's one pitch that he needs is 93 and 94.
Mm-hmm.
So he's good about that. But it's just easier to pitch in the National League when you have that out at the bottom of the lineup. It is different for a pitcher, and he's going to find, you know, like you're facing the Red Sox. Well, who's your easy out? You don't have one.
Right.
And that's going to wear on him. Now what he told people here was not having run support wore on him. But when you have to grind and grind through a lineup like Boston's, or you know, even in, to an extent, Detroit's, it's gonna be a different deal for him.
Richard, physically, with a potential of maybe as many as 20 or 21 starts available to Roger Clemens, if you were putting a betting line together in Las Vegas, what would you say the over-under is on the number of starts he's going to be able to make before he breaks down, shuts it down, or just can't go?
14, 13. You know, the reason he pitched the shortened season last year was because he had the best ERA in the game on August 1 of the previous year of 05.
Mm-hmm.
But in September, his body just broke down, and he came up with the idea, maybe I'm only going to be able to go 5 months. It's basically scared him. And he understood. Instead of confronting it, he understood maybe I'm going to be good for less. So you know, and as he gets older, I remember Randy Johnson said to me a couple of springs ago, he said, hey, you keep riding every spring that I'm done. One of these springs you're going to be right. And that's true with Clemens, you know. He's going to go out the way Nolan Ryan went out. He's going to go out on the mound.
Right.
And that day's getting closer. It's not, you know, what was the Bill Clinton line? I have more yesterdays than tomorrows. That's true of his pitching career.
Richard, when he chose New York this time around, didn't he feel that the Yankees were still in the hunt, that you know what, they got a chance to get a ring here?
Oh, he saw himself. Believe me. Then the one thing you love, and there's not many athletes like this, Michael Jordan, he wanted it on his shoulders.
Right.
Here I come to save the whole thing, even though I'm out there every 5 days. There are not many guys that would put themselves at the center of attention the way he did. And he just said, and I think that's one of the ways he psychs himself up, you know, he forces himself to work harder and do all this stuff. Hey, I put my head right on the line here. Let's go play.
If he had to do it all over again, knowing that he is where he is now, knowing that the Red Sox are so far ahead, the Yankees are so far behind, would he have still chosen New York? If he had to make the decision today.
He would be looking for that high rise on Commonwealth Avenue, probably.
Well, that leads us to the obvious question, Richard. If indeed, on the outside chance, the Yankees and Clemens decide to not go to the altar together in this deal, and I don't know if that's a 2% chance or a 20% chance, what happens to Roger Clemens?
What do Theo and Larry do?
I don't know. Would Clemens want to pitch? If not for the Yankees?
he would definitely want to pitch, but he might have to work on his rationalization skills, which he's pretty good at. But ultimately, it would come down to see what the Red Sox wants.
I don't, John, what are you saying? I don't think the Red Sox would go after Clemens.
I don't think they're going to pay him $18 million.
Well, here's the thing: Steinbrenner's not going to let Clemens go to the Red Sox this year at all.
Well, what difference does it make, though?
Well, it makes a big difference. Steinbrenner can't stand Boston.
Now, Steinbrenner's not even in control anymore. Are you kidding me? The old Steinbrenner, 5 years ago, 10 years ago,
would have fired
more than the trainer by now. He'd have fired two managers and a general manager.
I agree with you.
I don't think Steinbrenner's in control.
Oh, but there's no way in the world Steinbrenner's going to let Clemens come to Boston this year.
Well, Richard makes a good point. What difference does it make?
To Steinbrenner, it makes all the difference in the world. He hates Boston.
Richard.
Well, I think that you brought up a good point. We don't actually know what his health is,
and
we haven't seen him or heard from him in months and months. So I don't actually know who's running the show there. People keep asking me about Torrey getting fired. Well, I mean, yeah, in the old days he would have been long gone, and so it tells you there are obviously different people in charge of the Yankees right now.
George Steinbrenner and the Red Sox front office do not see eye to eye or do not get along. They wouldn't even let Sheffield try and come here. He's not going to let Clemens come here.
Yeah, well, I think that really is another era in Red Sox-Yankee relationships. And I think letting Roger go would create ill will among the fans. And also you're sending a message to other agents that says, now they're not going to turn down Yankee money. But you're saying, hey, the deal we had is not the deal we had. So hey, I would expect they will carry through with it. But it has to be in their mind.
Consider the irony, if you will, of the Yankees making sure Sheffield didn't come to Boston and goes to Detroit.
Right.
And now Detroit might whack their ass out of the playoffs as a result of Sheffield, and the Tigers. Hey Richard, changing shoes here for just a second. What do you think the commissioner is thinking as the Barry Bonds, although he's in a bit of a slump and isn't hitting any home runs in the last week or so, as this thing approaches, is he really truly considering not showing up? Because when he did his little tour here on the East Coast, he went on the air with every single outlet and said, it's something we're talking about. We haven't made up our mind as to what we're going to do. What do you think he's going to do? What do you think he should do?
Well, he's going to be there. And it's a baseball moment. He's the promoter and the defender of the game, and he represents all of baseball, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's going to be there, but he's hoping he doesn't have to be there, and every night he lays his head down before he goes to sleep. He's praying that a prosecutor bails his butt out on this. And I'm sure a lot of people are doing that. You know, he is very close friends with Hank Aaron, and he has had many interesting conversations with Hank Aaron, with Frank Robinson, with people like that, and they have a certain feeling about Barry and how he's gone about this. On the other hand, to turn your back on it would almost make the embarrassment worse. So go and grin and bear it. And one of the things I said to him is, hey, let's hope he does it. You should hope he does it before you go to Cooperstown and you induct Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
And you can remember the things you like about it. And a month after that, you're back to playing baseball. Because, when people look at the record books, if you look at the single-season home run record now, you don't really look at McGuire and Bonds. People still look, Maris and Ruth still have a certain cachet in it. And people are going to know what happened in this era. We're not going to have to disseminate it all that much.
Richard, it seems to me that Bud Selig's willingness to tell everybody for the better part of 2 or 3 days that he hasn't made up his mind about what he's going to do with Barry Bonds was probably about the only punishment or stern look Bonds was going to get from him. That was his way of saying, I don't approve of what's going on, and ultimately he will go, and I agree with you. But doesn't it sound like that's sort of the punishment that he's meted out? I'm undecided. When in point of fact, he probably has decided he's going.
Yeah, he's decided. Owners want him to be there. The problem is this is really hard for him. I mean, he's had a great term as commissioner. The game has grown so much. And yet, this whole blight, this whole thing, and we've seen this year, it's going to keep coming up. This is not the only year there are going to be steroid stories.
Right,
there were
right.
steroid stories last year. It'll be next year. It will go on and on. Players will write books about it. There'll be more investigations. There'll be guys with windbreakers and badges showing up at other players' doors. It's really an ugly thing, and it's something everybody missed the boat. The media missed the boat. The commissioner missed the boat. You just didn't see it, or maybe there were some people who didn't want to see it.
Canseco didn't miss it.
He got right on that boat.
Yeah, Richard, you bring up that he's going to be there, and I agree with you. I think he has to be there, but The irony is Hank Aaron is not going to be there. And there's no doubt in your mind or in my mind, Aaron's not going to change his mind, right?
No, but if Bud asked him to be there, Hank has pretty much made it clear I would come. But I don't think he's going to do that. And it comes into the physical part of the celebration. Where does Bud go? Does he stop the game? I don't think so. Does he stop the game and have a celebration on the field? I mean, this is a tough thing.
Well, I think he got us.
He has reached out to Barry over the years couple of times. And Barry has basically snubbed him. He got a call one day from Willie Mays and says, just want you to know Barry appreciates all you've done. He's thinking, well, that's just great.
Well, I think once the moment happens, the game stops.
Yeah, the game stops and the commissioner is out on an airplane 1 hour later.
Wow.
Hey, Richard, if you could take your writer's hat off and put your pop psychologist hat on, have you figured out the phenomenon that is the soap opera called A-Rod? And I don't mean necessarily the tabloid stuff, but just the way that it's, the dark cloud. There's an issue every single day with this guy. As an example, if Lance Berkman had yelled, mine, 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 would the whole world have been talking about it?
Well, guys do that. It's not even I'm not sure it's a sportsmanship thing. It's more just childishness, particularly when you're talking about a rookie third baseman.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that if you're going to play them, if they had played the next night, I guarantee you he'd have gotten one in the ribs. Guys do it. They do it as a joke. It does happen. But because it was this guy who's a classic jerk, I think he's an insecure guy. I'm told that if you go to his house, he likes to take you around and point out how much all the paintings cost and stuff like that. He's just a guy that's not comfortable in his own skin. I was around him some when he at Miami Stadium when he came to he wanted to be Ripken. Well, we view Ripken as perfect, and being perfect, seeing yourself as perfect in a game with so much failure, it's impossible. And I just think he behaved himself a certain way in Texas. That was just a lot of those young guys really came to dislike him. Mm. I said to somebody the other day, I said, Bonds is not the most despised player in baseball. Other players really dislike A-Rod. So I think he's a guy that I keep thinking he's going to grow up and grow up. Ken Griffey grew up. A lot of guys maybe don't.
Hey, before we let you go, I'd be interested in knowing your thoughts on Gary Sheffield's comments to GQ. Are you aware of those?
Yeah, I'm aware of them. Look, it's a very complicated issue, and it gets back to, Eddie Murray and Ozzie Smith came from high schools in South Central Los Angeles. Those schools don't even have baseball programs anymore. Inner cities around the United States don't have the money to fund baseball programs because the upkeep of a baseball field is very expensive. And baseball lost its appeal to a generation of African-American kids. They want to be Michael Jordan. And the NBA did a much better job of marketing stuff. And baseball has done its best to try to get the game back, growing again, but it's a long, long, slow process. If you drive through the Dominican Republic, there's a baseball game going on every mile, and you just don't see that in the United States anymore. And it's going to be, if it can be fixed, it's going to be a long, long time getting fixed. And he talks about you get back to funding of schools, school programs, and that's a bigger thing than baseball can fix.
But Sheffield saying that the reason the Latinos outnumber the blacks by such a wide margin in baseball is that because they're more easily controlled. Is that not too far? Is that not too far, Richard Justice, from Al Campanis saying the reason there aren't more black managers is because they don't have the necessities?
It's not that far, but the reason is, I know Sheff well enough to know if you went back to him today, he'd have a different story. The reason is because there's millions of Latino kids playing baseball. That's how you get signed by baseball teams. You play baseball, and that's what's happened there. But I do admire it's a very creative reason to come up with.
Well, don't you think it might have something to do with Bobby Abreu with the Yankees and he no longer with the Yankees? A little personal thing going on there?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, he obviously, that's a good point. I had not thought that he was aiming at one guy. Very insightful.
Yeah. Richard Justice, we appreciate the time this morning. Nice talking baseball with you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, Richard.
From the Houston Chronicle, you can read them on AOL as well. Richard Justice with Dennis and Steve Burton.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.